I was talking to a friend of mine last month, and he's an old friend, actually, and we ended up talking about faith. He's not a Christian, but he's a friend, and so he's interested in why I'm a Christian, as any friend would be. But his parting words were something along these lines. John, I respect your faith, but I don't share it. But I don't think that makes me a bad person. I wonder how many people you know who you've heard say something like that, or even think it. You know, I don't share your faith, but I don't think that makes me a bad person. It's an interesting thing to say. It's sort of very revealing, I think, because it behind that simple line, I don't think I'm a bad person. I think there are a couple of assumptions. And see if you agree with me. I think one of the assumptions behind that is the assumption that our faith is ultimately to do with being good, being a good person. And the other assumption is that if people disagree with us about our faith, we're going to judge them for it. Of course, neither of those assumptions are actually true. If you actually think about some of the things Jesus taught, one of the things he said quite clearly, he says, no one is good but God alone. No one. So our faith in Jesus is primarily not about us being good, because Jesus says no one can be good but God alone. And the other thing he said is, judge not and you won't be judged. In other words, it's not our business to judge anyone. And as followers of Jesus, we shouldn't be judging anyone. So both those assumptions aren't actually true. We're in the middle of a series on Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, Jesus commands his disciples to go and spread the good news of his coming, the good news of his kingdom. And then he gives them a set of clear instructions to follow as to how to do it. And these are the things we've been looking at over these last 3 weeks now. We learned a couple of weeks ago that he teaches us not to go on our own, but to go together. He sends people out two by two, not one by one. And then last week, we're to go prayerfully, asking for God to be with us and to help us. But there's still the big danger, I think, even if we go together, even if we go prayerfully, that whenever we talk about our faith, people will assume that it's all about being good and will feel they're being judged and they'll put barriers up. So how do we make sure this doesn't happen? Well, Jesus' solution is actually a very, very simple one. And it's something that we need to pay very, very clear attention to. He says that when we go, we must go humbly. We must go humbly. And I find that this idea of humbleness is reflected in the first of today's reading. Can we have it up on the screen, Stuart? It's from Luke chapter 10, and it's just one verse. Well, two verses. Verse 3 and 4. Jesus said, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." I'm going to look at those three things, he says, in turn, okay? So I'll get to the do not greet anyone on the road bit later. So you don't have to worry about that right now, because it's quite a puzzle. But let's start with what he says first. Going humbly means to go like lambs among wolves. It's quite a contrast, isn't it, between a lamb and a wolf? I mean, lambs, when you think about it, typically are young, inexperienced, carefree, and very weak. They're just lambs, after all, and very vulnerable. And wolves are the opposite. We're not talking about wolf cubs here. We're talking about adult wolves. That's the words that Jesus uses, lambs and wolves. Wolves are cunning and strong and ruthless. So clearly, Jesus is saying here that when we go to share the good news of his presence, it's not going to be easy. We'll be like lambs among wolves. But I think he's also saying something a bit deeper. I think he's saying something about the manner in which we are to go. I think he's saying that, like lambs, we are to be vulnerable rather than aggressive or defensive even, but vulnerable. When we go in strength, no wonder people feel judged. It looks like an all-out assault, and they put their defenses up very, very quickly. When we go in weakness, people know they've got nothing to fear from us. Remember Jesus on the donkey going into Jerusalem? People knew they had nothing to fear from him. And so in this, we have no greater example than that of Jesus himself. There's another reading. Could you pop it up, Stuart? It's from Philippians, a letter in the New Testament, but it's describing Jesus. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So, when it comes to being humble, Jesus leads the way. In John's Gospel, the risen Lord Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." In other words, all that you see me do, this is what you are to do now yourselves. So we go in the way Jesus came, in the way Jesus went. That's how we are to go, not as a conquering army, but as bearers of good news. We go in the knowledge that it may well be costly, but we go not for our own sakes, but for the sakes of those who have not heard and are therefore missing out. We are to go as lambs among wolves. And the second thing Jesus says, we are to take nothing with us, not even a purse or a bag or even an extra pair of sandals for the road. No extra money for eventualities. No clothes in case we are robbed or caught in the rain or whatever. And no shoes in case the pair that we're wearing wear out. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're to go without a backup plan, without an insurance plan, you know, an insurance policy for eventualities. Now, why does he say that? I think he says that because he knows that mission, sharing your faith, is a huge act of trust. It is you stepping out of your comfort zone. But you do that trusting that Jesus is going to be with you and that he will look after you and he will provide all that you need. We see a wonderful example of this in another passage. Could we bring it up? It's from Acts chapter 3 and it's from verse 1 to round about verse 7. Again, if you want to follow in your pew Bibles, we're on page number 1094. So this is after Jesus had risen and ascended. So this is the first disciples following his instructions. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he is put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as John did. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. I have Jesus. In Jesus' name, stand up and walk. And he did. And he did. When you go, said Jesus, don't take anything with you, because you're not going to need it. I'll provide for all your needs. And when you actually think about Jesus' own life, that's what he did himself. So he's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do himself. Jesus did not take anything with him. But wherever he went, people experienced the power of God's presence in extraordinary ways. For some, it was healing. For others, it was simply acceptance, particularly if they're very downtrodden and felt that no one cared about them. For others, it was forgiveness and freedom from sin. And for all of them, it was a hope of a better life. And this is what they experienced wherever Jesus went. And this is the experience of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is saying to us, wherever you go, I'll be with you too. And my power will still be at work through you. So just as he didn't need anything for the way, neither do we, because we already have Jesus. And Jesus, remember, is the Son of God. So we have all his wisdom and all his knowledge and all his resurrection power. And that's all we actually need. So we don't need a degree in theology. We don't need to go on an evangelism training course when we can learn all the right techniques. We don't need to read up all the books we could possibly find on how to do God's mission, how to share. We don't actually need all those things. We already have all that we need because we have Jesus. And the closer we are to Jesus, the more his power can work through us. And I think that's what many of you have already experienced yourselves. There's people here today who have come to faith because they have simply met another Christian in all sorts of different circumstances, on the bus, at the staff canteen, at in a gym, when they're on holiday. And that person hasn't been powerful and knowledgeable and expert and all that sort of stuff. They've just been themselves. And they have simply shared the difference that Jesus has made in their lives. And it's got you to think, oh, maybe he could make that difference in my life too. Don't take anything with you, said Jesus. You'll end up relying on it and not on me. All you need is me. And the final thing he says, and it's the strangest thing of all, but I did promise you I'd get to it in the end. Do not greet anyone on the road. Now, does Jesus want us to be rude? I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. What's he saying here? Does he want us to be rude? Does he want us to ignore people who speak to him? Well, obviously he doesn't want us to do that. So what does he mean? I think he's talking about urgency here. If you've been around Liberton Kirk long enough, you'll know that we try to live, we aspire to living the way Jesus lived, which was in a triangular way. In other words, Jesus lived his life facing in three different directions. He looked up, he looked in, and he looked out. He spent long hours in prayer looking up to God his Father. He spent long hours with his friends, teaching them, working with them, enjoying times with eating with them. But he also spent long hours doing mission, looking out, up, in, and out. And this is what he is asking them to go and do in Luke 10. They've spent a long time with them, him learning from them. Now he says, time for you to look out. Notice there's a sense of urgency. It's harvest time, he says. You've got to get on or the crops are going to be ruined. Here at Liberton, we've been trying to sort of build this triangular rhythm into our way of life as a church. So even this year, we've had a season of looking up. And then we followed that with a season of looking in. But now we're preparing for that season of looking out. Harvest time. In fact, that's why we're here. You know, the church doesn't exist for itself. It exists for the people who are not part of the church. So the season looking out is our reason for existing. We are the workers in God's harvest field. Ask any farmer when the best time is to harvest their crop, and they'll tell you when it's ripe, obviously, and when it's dry. That's the best time to harvest a crop, when it's ripe and when it's dry. Hands up if you were here in this area on Wednesday morning. What happened on Wednesday morning? Any ideas? Sorry, you have to speak. Thunder and lightning. The way you love me is frightening. I get it. No, sorry. The sky went dark. First the sky went dark, and then the clouds gathered. Well, actually, it's because the clouds were gathering, the sky went dark. And then suddenly, all this noise, and then the rain came down. Tuesday, hands up if you're on Tuesday. Wow, hottest day of the year. Wasn't it amazing? Quite a contrast between Tuesday and Wednesday, wasn't it? Now, imagine you're a farmer, and you had a field ripe for harvest, and you had planned to do it on Tuesday, and you thought, nah, I'll leave it till Wednesday. There is a season for harvest, and you cannot postpone it, or the crops get ruined. So that's what I think Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the harvest. He says, now don't stop and talk to people along the way. As a minister, I've seen how there are often harvest times in people's lives. Another way of understanding that is there are windows of opportunities in people's lives. These are times when, and it happens to us, so you'll know, you'll identify this from your own lives, when we are, for various reasons, much more open to God's presence. It's like, and usually they're when there's a break in the routine. So they happen when you leave home for the first time and suddenly you have to reprioritize your life. That's when you're very open to God's presence. It happens when you have your first child. Suddenly your world gets completely turned upside down and you start thinking those big thoughts because your life is now about the child, not about you, and you're much more open to God's presence then. Happens when you retire and the routine of work finishes and the routine of retirement begins. But that wee gap between, people are much more open to God's presence. It happens during times of crisis. You know, you're chugging along, and suddenly you discover, you know, you suffer from a serious illness or accident or something. Or maybe it's redundancy. Or maybe it's bereavement. We don't want these things to happen, but when they do happen, people are much more open to some of the bigger questions of life. Also times of national tragedy. You know, or I'm not going to describe the Brexit vote as a national tragedy, but you know, times of upheaval, or even, you know, natural disaster, you know, all these are times where there's a collective openness. People are beginning to ask the big question. And God sees all these times as harvest times. And by that I mean the time will pass. So you can't hang around. There's an urgency about it. Of course, it's God who does the growing. When it comes to people's faith, it's God who does the growing. But when it comes to harvest times, when it comes to those windows of opportunity, he asks us to be the workers in his harvest field. And one of those windows of opportunity, strangely enough, is when people move house. Because when you move house, you get new neighbors, you get new friends, you've got to rethink your routines, you know. And it's for that reason in particular that the Summer School of Mission is focusing on the new houses up at Liberton Grange. Because we know that it'll be a window of opportunity, not for everybody, but for some people. And so we're going to have a season of preparing the ground. That's what the prayer walking's about. And then we're going to have a season of sowing the seed. That's when we need the cupcakes and the donuts. And then we're going to allow God to grow. And that's just simply going to be we're going to be praying for the people there. And then we're going to look forward to God's harvest. And we're going to be ready for it. Jesus says, when you go humbly. You go as lambs among wolves. Do not take anything for the road. Do not stop along the way. To go humbly means to go trusting in your own experience of your faith, in the difference that Jesus has made in your life. That's what you take with you. Because that's what people are interested in. To go humbly means trusting in the person who's going with you. Being a Christian is not so much about being good as about being faithful. That's what being a Christian's about. You're faithful to a faithful God whose love is made real in Jesus. So to go humbly means to go trusting that this Jesus is with you and you can trust him to make himself known through you. You're just making yourself available. To go humbly means you can say, listen, I don't know all the answers. And I'm not the best of people, really, if I'm honest. But I do know someone who's changed my life for the better. And maybe if you let him, he can do the same for you. Shall we pray? Just in a moment of silence, I want you to try and imagine the situations you're likely to be in today and tomorrow and in the week ahead, and the people who you are likely to encounter. Just imagine those situations. Imagine those people, known to you or maybe unknown to you. Just imagine it. And then imagine that in those situations, Jesus is there with you. He is there with you. You're not alone. Lord Jesus, our prayer is that you would take us as we are, humble but willing, and that you'd work through us to bring the reality of your presence into the lives of the people we meet. And we ask this in your name. Amen.